morning, good afternoon, good evening, Power Hour Nation, wherever you may be, from sea to shining sea, from the shores to the shores beyond on this great wonderful planet we call home, because that's the place to be. I'm George Freund, your guest host from Canada, and joining us today is going to be another Canadian, Jason Lovering, to discuss the Canadian election issues, which are small potatoes, I guess, to the rest of the world, but symptomatic of the great disease that is festering in many, many nations between the struggle for truth, justice, and liberty, and the opposite, to just keep you down on your knees, entrenched, enslaved, in debt, and always on the defensive. And that's just a terrible way to go. Jason is a veteran, just like my webmaster, John, just different armies, and they learned what Smedley Butler wrote about, that war is a racket, the hard way, in the military. And they're not afraid to talk about things like that, because the truth does set us free, doesn't it? Especially the truth of manipulation of your mind to seduce you into going to wars for various power structures that do not reward you in any way, shape, or form, and definitely don't take care of you too well after it's over. And sometimes those are hard things to face, but the truth does set us free. So no pain, no gain. And I guess we have to take the pain for that gain. You hear that sound? You hear that sound, son? That's freedom. I love to wake up to the sound of freedom in the morning. It sounds like victory. There's no greater victory than cavalry, and no greater cavalry than the Power Hour cavalry. We're forming posse, and we're going into the belly of the beast. A little bit of the AI beast, a little bit of the psychotronic weapon beast, predictive programming beast, the illusions of elections beasts. And we'll take all that on for you. I heard a word earlier in the year from a liberal arts professor that just upset me greatly. Not so much the words, but his interpretation of them. And I heard those words again on Power Hour earlier. And I want to elaborate quickly on that. It was called the common good. Now, that goes back to Aristotle. He wrote very, very deeply about that. The Nicomachean Ethics. Even if the end is the same for a single man and for a state, that of the state seems at all events something greater and more complete. Though it is worthwhile to attain the end merely for one man, it is finer and more godlike to attain it for a nation or for city-states. But, of course, he gets into who decides. And in those days it was a king, or maybe a small potentate of rulers. And sometimes we call it polity, the rule of the many for the common good, the democracy, the tyranny of the majority that will decide the common good. And all that sounds really good, except for one problem. Usually most of the fact sets that we use to establish the common good are erroneous or just flat-out misrepresentations. And they're done that way for the power elite, the one who decides to take advantage. So generally that's why there's never any good in the common good. But a really kindly old professor that I know, retired, old enough to be my father, and someone I thought very highly of, once brought up the common good in conversation and said that anyone who isn't for the common good, and in Canada that's advanced forms of socialism, is an enemy of the state and should be put in prison without trial, and even to the extent of having them executed. And that came out of his mouth just so fast that I was choking on my vomit. And said, no, that is not a common good when any sort of majority can just overwhelm, oppress, and destroy a minority just because you have a difference of opinion on what is the common good, what is the data set, what are the facts. And that just completely upset me for a good few days, because I know what the hard road is on the common good. That has been the fundamental license for all the totalitarian states of any stripe to practice genocide and such like that, based on whatever popular fact is vogue at the time. I have a book in the library section of my website, conspiracy-cafe.com, called The Book of the Damned. It goes back to the early 1900s. And it discusses the science of the 19th century, and what was forced the gospel to the scientists and how a lot of it was all made up. And you were forced and pressured into believing certain things, and you had to pass that off. And he gets into evolution and strange anomalies in the sky. One of the big portions of the book is things that fell out of the sky. He documented them through probably all sorts of source material we may never be able to find anymore because it's so old. And even manna from heaven fell in Persia, which is now Iran, with some edible product that you could make into a flour and cook. And I thought that was really interesting. But his big point is, whatever we think is knowledge is damned, because frequently it's not. It's an agenda of whatever is vogue at the time, and you're forced into it. And then it's filed away for the future that we have to openly accept what was there in the past. So every generation is now subject to a lie built on a lie, built on a lie, with a foundation of falsehoods. And that becomes the truth. And that's why we're enslaved and imprisoned. So we can quickly use a fact check or a logic check. I'm sure, since most of this audience is American, you've probably heard some words from the Declaration of Independence. But if we do the common good, we'd have the Declaration of Interdependence. That would be called life without liberty for the common good. And I think we can see instantly that that's not where we want to go. That is the totalitarian concept, to seduce us into surrendering our God-given rights for the common good, a soft power focus used to manipulate you into the fold of what could very well be, as it comes down the road, this social credit system. God's laws are sacred, and so are the God-given rights. They're sacred. There cannot be a common good unless we have those God-given rights. And because the common good is attacking the First and the Second Amendment overwhelmingly to take away your rights to free speech, your right to bear arms, your right to determine your own destiny, there can't be any good in it at all. So there's always that old analogy of, you know, what's a democracy? Three wolves and a sheep discussing something. And a republic is three wolves and a sheep with a gun discussing something. So in my little twist, it's three wolves and a sheep discussing the benefits of mutton for the common good, supper. And the sheep cannot reply because it doesn't have the right to free speech and will be penalized by the social credit system. So what's the only thing that the wolves can say to that? Pass the ketchup for the common good, because the sheep is no more. It's just as cut and dried as that. So be very leery of those words. They have very deep meaning to the socialist, the communist, the fascist, or any other ist that's coming along. They twist and manipulate the words to make good into evil and pass it off as good. It's very, 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 very powerful words and how they're used. We see that Mr. Obama has crawled out of the grave and he's come to boost the great fearless leader, Justinian the First here in Canada. Just a total disgrace, really, as a prime minister for all the things he's messed up. There would be no federal institution at all in Canada that would hire him with the black marks, not necessarily the black face, but the black marks that he has in his records. Touching a reporter's derriere, covering up crimes from a big corporation, of course the blackface incident and things of these natures. This the total mess up of international affairs with world leaders to almost make it like a laughing stock. Nobody's going to hire you. But the Canadian people are looking to make him again the head of state. It's just absolutely amazing. The only good news I take in all that is there's an old political adage that says, when you're defending, you're losing. And he's defending very, very hard. The polls are all crooked, and we probably won't have any idea of what they really were until it's over. And hopefully that's with a majority from a new kid in town, and probably not the ones that are far more socialist than he is. UK and EU agree on a new Brexit deal. So we've always had confidence that that'll work out, because I've done negotiations. and they're long, tedious, stressful, and they go on and on and on and on. But ultimately, a deal has to be worked out because it's in everyone's best interest, and all the emotions are going to have to fall aside. And the worst-case scenario is you'd still wake up in the morning, even if they didn't have the deal, maybe even if they worked it out 2 weeks or 2 months afterwards, as the chaos grease is loosed upon the system, they'll work a whole lot faster to come to something. And they have come to an agreement. Whether it's a good one or not, I doubt it would be good for the common person. Northern Ireland Party rejects the Brexit deal. I think they're far more committed to the globalization process, because that's all what's down there is just the destruction of sovereignty, the building of a super state for the ultimate super corporations, the banksters, so that they can make untold profits at your expense. And it just amazes me about elections. We'll get into that with Jason. But they bribe you with your own money, right? Because they got your credit cards, and they're unlimited. And they can borrow anything they want. So I just look at it as they're going to borrow like $100,000 in your name that you're going to have to pay back for the rest of your life. And they're going to give you back 10 or 12, make it sound. And another guy coming, oh, I'll give you 13. Oh, I'll give you 14. But the rest just disappears into the dark hole of debt. Some of it may be pilfered from political leaders as they siphon it off to foreign shores, or it's lost through waste, other forms of corruption and such like that. But by and large, you're out the 100 grand and you're lucky if you get back 10%. But you think you got something. And how stupid are we? Syria will respond to Turkish aggression on any part of the country, Assad. Well, I think that's more bluff and bravado, because I don't think he's really in a position to deal with Turkish aggression in any way, shape, or form. That's going to be up to President Trump with his sanctions. And about the only force that could deal with Turkish aggression would be Russian force, and then that would make it a whole new ball game. And we probably don't really want to go down that trail. But the most important thing about these choke points in the world is when I was younger, made a big mistake thinking that only the history of maybe a few generations before me, or even further, a couple of few hundred years, was important. And the ancient history wasn't important. But that's not true, because the lies, as I said before, were codified in those days and dragged on. And I'm a slave to them still. So I've become a lot more interested in some of these ancient histories. And one of them is in northern Syria. There were ancient civilizations in northern Syria. The Canaanites and the Israelites fought up there. There were legends of a chaos monster and the sun god, the legend of Kharet, the epic king. And he was supposed to be the original who blew the horns to bring down fortifications, and was also regarded as the son of the great god El, which is something I never knew. And there was also a great invasion of the sea peoples on that end of the Mediterranean. People speculate that that could have been Atlantis or other civilizations. And it may very well have been, because the ancient history is kind of kept off the radar screen, except for small little cliques of people who are into that. Angry Londoners drag climate change protesters from the roof of train. Yay, team. When I saw some of these pictures of this protesting in Britain, if you don't know it, but if you ever watch The Prisoner, the old TV show with Patrick McGowan, I was just amazed at one set, and that I have pictures on my website on the blog page, that you see these protesters all in red, the way they're staked out on the sidewalk. It looked just like the scenes from The Prisoner, because ultimately, that's what they want to make us, don't they? And this is mind control. They tried mind control on Patrick to break his will and get him to go with the flow. And they use the same tactics and techniques on the street, in the street theater. Amazing. Norwegians told to pee in the shower to save water. Well, I guess that's better than having drought. By and large, maybe we need a whole new concept of flushing for that, because we waste too much water. I know when you live in the country, and you're on a septic system and things like that, it's, you know, they have sayings in the washroom about, you know, you use it several times before you flush urine and only once for the other end. So it just helps with the system. And, well, maybe we got to go with the flow a little bit. Trump claims prison escape of ISIS terrorists was manufactured. Well, I think that was probably one of the hidden dark agendas to this whole schmeal, because the ISIS terrorists, as we know, are the proxy army of the military-industrial complex. And they look after their own. They really do. Two Americans detained in China. They were supposed to be teaching English in Chinese schools. Very dangerous place to go for those types of affairs, and also a great cover for espionage agents. Elisa Peterson and Jacob Harlan, the father of five, were taken into custody and released on bail. But they're probably more just like good Christian people who are trying to spread the gospel, and that makes them dangerous to a communist police state. And it's a shame that we have so many so brave going into these far-off places, paying such great penalties personally, and getting so little recognition by the press. Rioting in Barcelona for the third straight night. Catalonia wants to leave. They got their own, I guess, Brexit. But, you know, by and large, anything that is a union can become a disunion. And by and large, if they want to go, like my grandma used to say when we were kids, you know, if you don't like it here, you know, you're free to leave. Just don't let the door slam you on the way out and leave on good terms. You can always come back. But to hold them in some sort of repressive state because they want to leave is just unnatural. And you, even if they do leave, you can still be the closest of friends unless you spoil those relationships. Post warns against obesity, food, personal destruction. Well, that is a big Power Hour hot item, to say the least. Yes, but we get into genetically modified organisms, the using of Roundup and all the other cancer-causing additives that somehow get into the food chain, that's probably far more important than just the plain old obesity. But the worst part of it is everything is just loaded with sugar. A guy at work with come in with a drink, and I looked at the label. It was like 65 grams of sugar in this tiny little bottle. And I didn't get out a scale to weigh 65 grams of sugar, but I'm going like, that's got to be enough for you to do the marathon every day, and that's it. Never mind that you get it in other foods and beverages and such. It's just overwhelmingly destructive, all this white sugar. It's poison, really. Kills far more people than guns, but nobody's going to ban it because I think the ultimate end run is to get you to die early. Elijah Cummings, veteran U.S. Democrat, dies at 68, and he was involved in Trump's impeachment inquiry. And it's just a terrible thing, this, you know, Trump calls it a witch hunt. I call it almost a lynching to go after Trump. Because it's not done with judicial prowess involved, where you have to be unemotional and neutral if you're going to be an administrator of justice. If you have personal anger and enmity towards an individual, you cannot be a prosecutor or a police person or anything, because you can't go over the evidence in a calm, rational manner and present it to a jury to say it's this or it's that. It's just you're making the shoe fit. You want to get this guy just for the sake that you want to get him, and the truth has absolutely nothing to do with it. You're in the wrong job as a prosecutor or the police or anyone in this impeachment inquiry. And, of course, the person missing is the whistleblower. The whole tenet of justice in a civilized country like the United States is that you meet your accusers in a court of law, and evidence is presented. And if I had to be a betting man, I'd say maybe they don't have one. Maybe they were doing like the old newspaper was doing in Britain, hacking phones and snooping on people. Maybe that's how they got this so-called evidence, and they can't present that because then they'd say they were breaking the law, and that wouldn't sit too well. Watchdog sues for records of investment firms tied to Hunter Biden. Well, I wouldn't doubt for a minute that he was fertilizing the fields in the Ukraine for a reason, and that reason probably wasn't the best interests of the Ukrainian people. It was just the typical type of larceny that's gone back all through the ages, where nation-states, kings, potentates, poobahs took advantage of other countries to strip them of their wealth, pad their own purses, and call it a day. And that's really not a way to do business, and I hope somehow, some way, the human species evolves from that tactic and technique. I would look at a world that doesn't have money that works on blessings as being far more better, far more appropriate, and far more rewarding than one that just deals in cold, hard cash. Ambassador to EU to testify that Trump delegated Ukraine policy to Giuliani. Well, that sounds reasonable. He is his right-hand man. House Oversight asked court to expedite subpoena for finances. Well, I wish the president would lay his cards down on the table, but I'm sure he's done what pretty much every other rich person has done. The poor guy gets held by his ankles by the IRS, and the rich guy has all kinds of fine lawyers and accountants to make him out a deal where you don't pay anything much at all, if anything at all, and the rest of us carry the weight. And that's a terrible state of affairs, really, but one that we've allowed to happen because we shouldn't have taxes. The sovereign right of a country, and this isn't an election issue in Canada or anywhere else, really, is to make the coin of the realm. Tax-free, debt-free. Imagine how we'd live. Well, I can't imagine. It's so hard to convince people that you're being taken advantage of. Here at my little man cave where I do the show, I have an old Canadian dollar from the Dominion of Canada. A Canadian banknote, not a Bank of Canada note. I bought one once at a coin store just as a souvenir. They're bigger than our other dollars now, and they're made out of paper now instead of plastic. Or that's made out of paper, not plastic. But it's so good to see that there was a day when we made our own money and we weren't in debt up to our eyeballs. Is that something to look forward to or not? Anyway, I'm George Freund. Welcome. We'll see you on the flip side.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you are one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM Sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund, the orchestrator behind the website conspiracy-cafe.com. And I've got another Canadian, a veteran, father, determined man for the truth, for news, for information, for changing the world and setting it straight, Jason Lovering from Canada. And we're going to talk about the election and some of the issues with this Mr. Trudeau, and sometimes I misspell it, and I do dough like D-O-U-G-H, because all our dough must be going out the window, because it sure there's sure a lot of scams about to you know, you just, when you're walking down the street, you know, it's like you're just feeling, you got, there's three or four extra hands in your pockets, you know, squeezing and looking for change and stuff like that, and they're not yours. They belong to various levels of government, and with all the lies that come associated with whatever propaganda they have at the moment. So welcome aboard, Jason, and tell people what you do in alternative media and what your website is.
All right, well, thanks for Power Hour, and thanks, George, for having me on there. For, yeah, the Evil One Scary show, we have, as you know, we got a small team. We cover, like, political intrigue, get into history, taking a look back, sort of the history that you weren't taught in high school, that... They glossed over quite a bit of it. Also, you know, world affairs, get into some of the conspiracy stuff, but we try to actually prove it as opposed to some people just speculate.
Oh, indeed. I've always found you to be, you know, very, very thorough in coming up with information on issues, and that you're very well researched. Because I remember once I was looking into an actress's death and was speculating about whether, you know, she met her demise unintentionally. And bingo, you know, you just, this is just somebody from an old TV show, and you send me, you know, the newspaper link that goes into far greater detail than I could ever have imagined on her last moments of life. And I found that just absolutely amazing. And, you know, it even pointed fingers at a potential suspect.
Yeah, well, like we kind of do the deep dive. Like I'm really lucky to have like a, we got a small but really good team, and they're all kind of very dedicated, and they like to deep dive.
Oh, indeed. So are some of the ladies that have helped me out over the years as research assistants. You know, they just win your game here, because this is a battle of wits, and usually we're against twits, and they're just using like raw emotion and hyperbole, and so I would call them truth grenades and information bombs and things like that that you hurl back at them, that, you know, you've got a factoid on something, and there's really not a whole lot that they can do to answer anymore except run. And then, you know, you get blackballed from popular commercial media because they know they can't win any arguments with you, so their only defense is head for the hills. And, you know, that's always done me. Like, you know, you get into, like, the big lie here for, you know, Trudeau and a lot of the leftist mantra is carbon, global warming, the climate emergency. And you've been in the military. I've been in all kinds of action jobs. You know what an emergency is. And it isn't now,
absolutely,
let me tell
yeah.
you. You know what I mean? When I'm holding on to the light pole and my feet are blowing straight out, perpendicular to or parallel to the road, that's a climate emergency. When I'm up to my neck in water, that's a climate emergency. When it's just another day, like it's another day, there ain't no emergency, man. That's an insult to the word and to the people who've gone through emergencies to even remotely say that. It's a scam. It's a fraud. You know, one document I came out with years and years ago was, you know, weather as a force multiplier, written for NATO.
Yeah, that was in the 70s as well, and there's also a UN convention, I think in 78, if I remember the right date, that was signed against weather warfare.
Exactly. And one of the old magazines that I've put on my website, you know, as a, you know, a clue, like this goes back to the 50s. I believe it was Popular Mechanics or something like that. But they had a guy with control levers and a storm in the background coming up. And, you know, this is old hat. Like they seeded clouds from the first day they could get a plane in the air.
You covered that. Yeah, I mean, if you remember the Kate Bush song there, the Cloudbuster.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's exactly what you're talking about, going back to the 50s. I don't recall the doctor's name or whatever, but, yeah, he did cloud seeding.
And basically, I look at this as a supreme fraud. I look at it as probably got a lot to do with the debt issue. And if they just came flat up and told you the truth, like the IMF did, to say that all Western countries are at risk of default, and we need more money, so we're going to raise all your taxes 20% and cut your services 50% to make our next thing, then people would probably get very angry and upset and say, well, how did we get here? So if we can use propaganda to train you and teach you that it's your fault, because you started your infernal combustion engine, and that's responsible for it, and make you feel like your only thing you can do is ask for penance from the state to say, please take my money, please take more power, please take more control,
and
everything's going to be okay.
You use that reference of penance because now they're selling you, you know, these carbon credits, and that's like indulgences.
Yes, exactly.
You know, they're selling you a green religion.
A green religion, and it's just the same thing as, you know, was done by churches long time ago in various eras to, we got a little shortfall in the budget. Well, we'll invent something new that's sinful, and then you pay your thing, and then, okay, we want to raid this other country or invade it, so you get an indulgence, and you can go in there and do what you want. And it's the same thing, with just without that baggage. And we also see the same thing. It's like the Inquisition for if you're a skeptic, you're a heretic. Skeptic
and
heretic seem to be replaceable.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You're a
climate change denier. Yeah, I'm a climate change denier. You know, we got a special dungeon for you. And
exactly. And it's getting that way, too. Like, it's getting pretty pathetic. Like, people are getting rabid about it.
And by and large, it's like I quoted from or just talked about a book I have on my website. I just found it by accident, and it just really impressed me. But it was called The Book of the Damned, and it was from a scientist. I think it was written about 1910, and he talked about the latter part of the previous century on how everything was made up, and all the true facts were tossed out the window for political agendas, and that we're passing on to future generations codified lies that have no substance in fact, other than the fact that we were pressured to say that's the way it is. And, you know, he gets into quite a lot of detail and has some great source material of where he found things that probably don't exist anymore as far as records to find easily. And I just see that with this as well, that this is just pressuring us into this. And that's one of the big campaign issues here in Canada.
I don't know if you heard, George, they wiped out all the records before 1950 for Environment Canada, the government agency there.
Oops.
You can't access those online anymore.
Oops. Well, I know the professor who collected records in the more modern era when he was a student. He worked for the Canadian government to collect this data. His name was Professor Nick Belaskis of York University, formerly of York University, because they let him go for some of his political activism after, you know, many, many, many decades of tenured service. And what he found was, when he was analyzing this data set, is a lot of it was erroneous because you'd have sensors in an empty field. The empty field is now downtown Newmarket or something like that, a big city in York region north of Toronto. Yep. And it's next to a plant or a shopping mall or in a subdivision. Now, he said there is heat sources coming from this, maybe beside, you know, Highway 400 that twist the data
The people call stat padding, right? Like, oh, here, we'll just put this right beside the exhaust muffler, you know?
Yes. So based on what he said, and he warned Al Gore specifically about this when they were collecting this data, that you have to recognize that only the sensor that's still in a field the way it was put in a field gives you information use. And I get the feeling they threw that out and took the stuff to prove their point.
Well, they don't care because it meets the agenda. Like, it fits the bill, as they say, right?
It's exactly. The world of the damned. And that's what they want to do with us is damn us. And part of the whole election process, to me, since, you know, I've been at it for a little while, I don't look at elections as elections. I look at them as illusions because they lie to us about everything. Most of the issues aren't really issues, and they could be solved easily. But, you know, one of the big ones is they promise us everything under the sun, all claiming to be different stripes of a political candy of some sort or another. And they're not, because basically, no matter who fulfills their promises, they're going to borrow a ton of money from private banks that a government could create for free and get us more and more into debt. So even though they'll say Mr. Singh, the NDP guy, you know, he's going to give us free drugs and stuff like that. Well, isn't that a subsidy to Big Pharma to say, you know, we're going to borrow on the Canadian people's behalf billions and billions of dollars?
Well, he's going to have to cut a deal with them somehow to make that happen if he's going to do
it. So that we can buy all these more drugs to give you. And a lot of them, as I understand from, you know, the Americans talk about it more clearly than us, that, you know, prescription, misuse of prescription or just prescription drugs kills more people than almost anything. And so a lot of you are going to die because of this, because you're getting some kind of poison put in your body. And that's okay. And we're going to give this massive subsidy to Big Pharma. But then if a conservative said, well, you know, he was just going to give a subsidy to something or another, well, they say, oh, well, you're bad, you're evil, you're the heretic. And it's all the same thing.
They literally crucify him,
It's all the same thing. And then they have the nerve to say how many lives they're saving for gun control. And, you know, maybe we'll find one. I doubt it. This is still Canada.
Well, that's the whole thing with the prescription drugs versus the gun control argument there. Like, if you sorry, that's good. Dog getting excited. If you look at it, like, percentage-wise, it's like gun deaths in Canada is, like, less than 0.01% for total deaths, and then you look at prescription drugs, you know, it's starting to compete with diabetes and heart disease.
Yes, indeed. But that's okay, see, because political power doesn't grow out of prescription drugs, not yet. But soon we'll have the pill for you. And that's being worked on overwhelmingly, as I was reading earlier before the show. But Mao said political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. And make no mistake about that. The United States wouldn't be the United States if it wasn't for the fact that when certain British Army went to take the guns, I believe that was Concord, that some Americans just said, not just no, but hell no. And then a big conflict started, and a new country was formed, and they wrote down things that we probably should have wrote down ourselves, because everybody's forgotten them now. And this is just the way it is. The ultimate law in our existence, whether we like it or not, is basically the law of the jungle. Strong survive, the weak perish. Sorry.
Yeah, well, that's the way over there. Because like, if you don't practice your rights, it's like you having a muscle. You go into atrophy if you don't practice it, right?
Oh, indeed. And the worst part of it is it's not taught. You know, we're not taught our history, how we got here, how we, you know, why we got these rights in the first place. Like, they were put in the British Bill of Rights for a reason, and that was after the Inquisition. King James said, we're not doing that again.
Well,
give the Protestants the right to bear arms.
Earned with blood. Like, nobody handed them to you.
Exactly. You know? And how quickly and easily everyone's falling for this. Because I look at Trudeau as someone who, or his handlers and masters really, are practicing the art of war on us. And they're luring us into a form of weakness,
well, especially with the legalization of marijuana. But I look at these as classic tactics Sun Tzu would use to defeat an enemy. And I'm going, like, well, why are they looking at us like we're some kind of enemy? So all of a sudden,
to the elites, we are.
Yes, of course.
We're cattle to them.
But it's hard to prove to the uninitiated until they get the cattle prod.
Yeah.
Then they understand very clearly now that they're the enemy of the state. And I wrote about that a couple of years ago, too, when they started talking about some of these gun control initiatives, that the way I see it being pushed on people is like we're enemy combatants. And there was some kind of struggle, battle that we weren't even in, and we lost. Hard to win if you're not even in it. And now they're in the mop-up. And so part of the mop-up is to take your guns, take your rights, take your freedoms, take people, take anything you want. And it's better. They like it when you beg for it, when you come begging for it. Oh, well, I'd hate to do it, but, you know, if you're begging me.
Yeah.
And that's what they're going to do.
Yep.
God forbid.
Well, and you see, like I said, like you're seeing a lot with the militarization of the police, like, and then the way the police are being taught. Like before, it used to be you were all about community service. You were a protector of the public. You know, it was serve and protect. And now it's, you know, like they teach these policemen and policewomen, their police officers, that, you know, like they're treating everybody like enemy combatants. And that's ridiculous.
Oh, they are. And it's not made the world safer. Actually, it's made it probably far worse. Because the competing armies are organized gangs of drug dealers fighting for their smack in the streets. And these guys aren't afraid. And this is something, you know, I try to, you know, well, it's, you can't talk logic with a liberal, but it's all emotion-based. But these guys are prepared to go out and die every night. What are you going to do to them that's going to scare them? Right? You know, come on. I want to hear it. You know, it's like we're going to take the five best liberal pussycats we got. We're going to send them into a biker clubhouse. They're all going to get on their knees, find the Lord, and raise their arms in the sky. I want to see it.
Yeah, no, you ain't changing people's minds that already made that decision a long time ago, you know.
And they're completely devoid of the absolute science and logic of these issues. Item one is you can't ban anything because it goes against the law of supply and demand. So banning something is an emotional reaction to something you don't like. So I don't like something, so I want to ban it. Well, it can't disappear because it's created. So the only way it could disappear is if, you know, maybe there's some scientific fiction story where we can turn into a new world and a new society and that thing isn't invented. And then it's banned because it never existed. But while it's here, it's existing, and it can't be banned. The only way to control something, especially with narcotics, because they can't be banned either, so we're going to try to ban something that's a symptom of a war for something that is banned, that can't be banned in the first place, because you can buy narcotics probably at every high school in Canada. And
well,
maybe
every prison, for that matter.
And every prison. And maybe in time, the other pocket will be selling pistoles and things, too. So that can't happen. And you lose complete control then, because then there's no register. Everything's illegal. Well, then the only thing that exists is the black market. And then, you know, you try to track something down. You try to figure something out. It isn't going to work. And then you don't have any control over who's licensed, what you can do with it or anything. So you lose all control. It becomes, I look at it like a clockwork orange, really, with all this stuff, because you haven't recognized the primary facet is you can't ban anything. And so if you made drugs a health issue and not a crime issue, all the rest of this stuff's going to go away, because you want to lower the price to close to zero. Then there's no profit in doing it. It goes away.
Well, then you elbow the cartels and the drug gangs and everything else, right? Is the idea
exactly? That's the Portugal solution. They decriminalized drugs. Crime dropped 75%. The head of the Portuguese National Police said, "I wasted my whole life fighting this." I love that man, because it's very rare sometimes when the truth is out, and even though you're on the other side,
it. The North American chiefs of police there, like for years, like the last 10, 20 years, have all been saying the same thing too.
And they ought to know. You're on the front lines of the war. You're seeing the lead flying every day, then, you know, these things should come to your point here. And Trudeau, the NDP, the Greens, and the Bloc is probably big on gun control too. They just don't see these issues, or they don't want to see them, because by and large, I look at it as a red herring that there's a purpose that they want. want these arms, and that purpose is to enslave what's left of us. And they just want to make it easy. It's part of Sun Tzu's art of war. You disarm your enemy, you get him to relax, maybe even fall asleep, and then you stab him in the chest when he doesn't expect it, and you win with little cost to you. And
and you've seen it all through history. Like, you were talking about ancient history earlier. Well, it goes right back to the Mesopotamians, like where they're disarming the populace and then controlling them, and et cetera, et cetera. Like, it's every culture.
Yes. Because there is a battle on for control of your heart, your mind, your soul, and basically everything about you. And that's why that political power can't be implanted in your hands. It has to be reserved for your masters. And the only emancipation from the slavery is the fact, it's one old philosophy, I think Google blocks the searches because I always forget who says it. When I put the terms in there, nothing comes back anymore. But I know
surprising.
It did 5 or 6 years ago. But the only guarantee of democracy, as bad as that is millions of arms anonymously held. And one of the great Greek philosophers said that. And then, you know, I used those search terms 6 ways from Sunday, and, you know, Mr. Google wouldn't tell me who said it anymore because that's gone down the memory hole, which also kind of proves our point that you know, we are slaves to this system, and all these people are bringing us into a debt slave system. Nobody, not one of them, is coming up to say that I'm going to liberate you from the debt or whatever. It's just even the conservatives, I'm going to borrow the least, $20 billion.
Yeah.
And Singh's probably going to borrow
I'll
the most.
I'll enslave you the least out of my competitors, yeah.
And, okay, when can, you know, whatever happened to the old days, like there was a political party once called the Social Credit Party, and I joined a remnant of that with Paul Hellyer, which turned into what was called the Canadian Action Party, and he taught me about money and finance. He was a cabinet minister in Canada, defense minister primarily, but, he taught me about the money system, how it works. And I'll never forget that weekend I spent at one of their training sessions to, you know, actually come out, and one of their other lawyer members taught me about free trade, and, you know, I had to go outside for air because, you know, you're hearing the God's honest truth about what this stuff is and how they're making nails for your coffin as a civilization. It was very refreshing, and I'll never forget that. And that is the big issue. And my father used to tell me that British Columbia, the Social Credit Party, was the only government ever in Canada that when they were voted out, there was money in the bank. There was no deficit. Then the NDP got in there.
Yeah, well, it's the thing. One of the big parties got in as opposed to, like, a people's party. It's the same as Jesse Ventura, if you remember, when he became governor of Minnesota. Like, you know,
yes, he
didn't want to stay as a political leader. He left, and he told the incoming governor, he said, you know, it's yours. Don't screw it up. You know, balance is, you know, budget's balanced. Everything's good.
Yeah, I liked him. I liked him for his TV show, too, because he got into a lot of hard and fast topics. And just got people interested in knowing what the battle is behind the scenes and how information is controlled.
Yeah, I think he mainstreamed the conspiracy thing there. He mainstreamed it quite a bit.
Oh, indeed. And, you know, I look at him as kind of like a folk hero for carrying the torch. But once the torch is handed to you, you don't lay down and go to sleep. You got to run with it.
Yeah, well, it comes back to those muscles. You got to keep exercising them, right?
It's not infotainment. It's a liberation, an emancipation. That means, you know, you work, but you work for yourself now. You're not working as an indentured, slave of a system, whether it's corporate or government. And this is the beauty of it, is, you know, you're on the road now. And once those neurons start moving and clicking in your brain, then you're going to figure out other things, and you're going to see the pattern. You'll be able to discern the lies very, very quickly. And recognize them for what they are. And it's only because of people like you and me and others that are micro-broadcasters or broadcasters that, you know, just get out on the field and take it. Like, you know, I remember, you know, because we did work for the same company, but not together, and it's a shame, really, because we probably could have done some real good slam dunk talk radio back then. And when our company bought vans that only had AM radios, we got into talk shows. And there was like 10 or 12 of us that were just slaughter them like dogs, man. Like, we hear these lies on the radio. What? You know, that's not true, or this is false, or this is an agenda. We fought them tooth and nail from the moment we went to work to the time we went home. Usually my cell phone was glued to the side of my head. It was heating up. one side was hotter than the other side.
Too, they did overheat quite a bit. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And remember one time I got stuck with one with a broken aerial, and it was just like, whoo, I'm smoking.
And, giving you radiation by the second day,
Well, I figured, well, if I got to go, I might as well go for the good team, and the fight's the fight. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not too worried about that stuff. But we made a lot of difference in a lot of key arguments over the years because somebody handed me the torch, and I ran with it.
Yeah.
And because I realized, you know, the world will never be the same again if I lay down and let this pass over us. And then how do I look my children in the eye, the next generation in the eye, to say, I gave up and put my feet up on the chair and just let it steamroller over us. I'm the one
away. And that's what kind of keeps us going every morning, you know, when we kind of get up and go, geez, you know, is this stuff really worth it? And then you're like, well, yeah, it is. It is important.
It is. And the other thing is in the history. That you look back to our forebears. You mentioned the police, too, and how they've all been turned into, like, tackleberries. And, you know, I was raised on Andy Mayberry, where, you know, the sheriff is, you know, a strong authority figure, but he's a human being, and we're peace officers.
Yeah.
So we want to keep the peace. We want to put it back together. And we don't need a system to do that. We just need good common sense that we can do it on our own because you're skilled. You're an artisan. And that was the difference is, you know, you're a little bit, you know, tough guy from the sports team, priest, and everything rolled into one, and you put it all back together. Anyway, Jason, it looks like we're coming to the break, and we thank you, and we encourage people to go to Evil Von Scary to look at your work and let it rest.
Great.
Bless you.
All
Thanks.
Right. Take care. Godspeed.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Foods, Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Yeah. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that Carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using Carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking Carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit CARNIVORA.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's Carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call.